Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of the Go Getters Podcast, brought to you by GGMM, Go Get It Marketing and Media, and our friends over at On Milwaukee. As we all know, the last 7 months have been nothing like we have ever experienced before. We've seen a lot of businesses shut down. We've seen a lot of businesses struggle. Others have thrived in this environment, and also on an individual level, stress and anxiety rates are at all-time highs. It's been difficult adapting, adjusting to what now seems like this new norm and just the uncertainty that it brings. We don't know exactly how long we're going to be in this new norm for. So this week, I wanted to bring on two amazing CEOs that have done a great job adapting and leading their organizations through this pandemic, talk to them, hear their stories, and get advice on how to maintain a great culture during this new norm, during this work from home era, how to still be a great leader, be productive, and really take advantage of some of the opportunities out there that a pandemic like this could bring. So whether you, the listener, whether you're a young professional at a corporation, an entrepreneur, a manager, a CEO, you're going to get a lot of takeaways from this episode that you can apply to your life and your career. So thanks for joining us again today. So our first guest, we've got Hector Colon on. He is the president and CEO of Lutheran Social Services, LSS, which is one of the largest and most experienced health and human services organizations in the Midwest, serving about 30,000 individuals annually. He took that role in 2017. He's actually, I was listening to one of his other podcasts he was on before this. He's the first non-Lutheran, non-pastor, non-Norwegian, Norwegian to run the organization in 138 years. Pretty big deal. I got to pull up a couple numbers because these were pretty impressive too. So 10 years before you went there, the organization only met two budgets and lost $10 million. They lost $2 million prior, the year before you joined. The first year you came in, they were positive. The next year, $2.5 million positive. And from the interview, you said this year you've taken a hit. You've had to adapt a lot, but you'll still end up having a good year. So I'm excited to dive into that. Absolutely. Hector was also the former executive director of Health and Human Services from Milwaukee County, where he led over 1,000 employees and managed a $300 million budget and really helped that organization. He's also a seven-time national boxing champion and the author of a new book, From the Boxing Ring to the Boardroom. Our next guest is throwing up some jabs over there. I don't know who would win that fight, but
I would never want to throw hands with him.
I
don't think I would either. I don't think me and you could combine put up a good fight in that one. So luckily we are just podcasting today and talking corporate culture and not getting in the ring with Hector. But his new book, From Boxing Ring to Boardroom: Five Essential Virtues for Life and Leadership, is out right now if you want to check that out. And as far as boards, he's on the U.S. Olympic Boxing Board, UW Board of Regents with Kyle Weatherly, friend of the show. He's also on that one, and M3 Insurance, which brings us to Hector. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here with you.
Happy to have you. And our next guest, Mike Vickerson. He is the CEO of M3 Insurance, where he has been his whole career. I'm going to date you a little bit, 28 years at this point, I believe, holding 8 total positions, including president in 2003. He's been the CEO since 2005. For those of you who don't know, M3 is a top 50 insurance broker in America, Wisconsin's largest broker, and they celebrated their 50th anniversary back in 2018. Vickerson is on the boards of he is the board chair of the Greater Madison Chamber of Commerce, serves on the boards of the Council of Insurance Agents and Brokers, the Oregon Community Bank, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Foundation, and Tetra Defense. And he's also very involved in the community. M3 as a company is through their M3 Foundation. And M3 recently launched a COVID business resources portal. You may be listening to this podcast on the portal, but if you're not, there's a lot of great content on there to optimize your business, stay productive, and even thrive during this pandemic. So make sure to go check that out. You can just head to m3ins.com to access. It's very accessible on the homepage. Vic, thanks for joining us. It's good seeing you.
Good to see you. Hey, man, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, where I want to start with is COVID. This hit really out of nowhere in early March. I would love to hear what you guys' initial reactions were, and then some of the biggest obstacles that you've had to overcome. Hector, we could start with you.
Sure. It was devastating. I remember in early March, when the pandemic hit, I convened both of our boards, our operating board and the foundation board, to let them know the impact that we were projecting, which was $1 million of revenue per month. And I shared with them some high-level thoughts on what we were going to do to address those challenges. If we would have done nothing, LSS would have been $3.6 million in the hole by the end of the year. And instead, it's likely we'll not only meet, but potentially exceed our budget. We made lots of changes. We had to adapt our staffing models. We had to also innovate. We implemented telehealth that brought in $500,000 of revenue to the organization, but more importantly, gave us the vehicle to ensure that we would see thousands of individuals that needed us now more than ever. And the organization also collaborated like I've never seen before. We are one LSS working together, not individual programs or individual regions of the state, but we are one LSS. And it's been very inspiring and invigorating to be a part of this major success, I would say, right now at LSS.
And Hector, going off that, what was it like for you, you know, emotionally, when you find out that this is going to hit and you guys could lose $1 million a year? And you brought up, implementing telehealth. What were some of the other tactics that you used to really turn this around and almost turn this into a positive for your organization? It sounded good when you said it, but I don't know if people realize how difficult what you've done actually is in such a short period of time.
Yeah, on the expense side, the executive officers led by taking a voluntary pay cut. We also delayed some projects that we wanted to move forward with. So those were some of the things we've done on the expense side. But also actually on the expense side, our staffing models. We had to furlough initially 60 individuals because there wasn't enough work to support those 60 individuals. We eventually brought some of those back, but we probably permanently laid off about 20 individuals. So just really making sure that we had the work, aligning with the staff, really making sure that we were productive. So that was a big part of our success on the expense side. And then again, telehealth on the revenue side added a substantial amount of $500,000 that helped position the organization for success. It's really hard, especially in our sector, when you have to lay people off. These are individuals that are totally committed to the mission and the difference we're making in the lives of others. So it was a very challenging time, but we led with a servant-led heart. With compassion, with care, and love, and really working with the staff to ensure that we're looking out for the long-term viability of this organization, for the best interests of the staff as a whole, as well as the people we serve.
And Vic, can you talk about your initial reaction to when COVID hit? You guys are, you know, one of the largest insurance brokers in the country. What was that like, and what initial effect did it have on your business?
So we experienced an enormous amount of emotions and range of emotions in those first 2 to 4 weeks. We've got 6 offices, 300 people, thousands of customers. And unlike maybe some sectors of our industry, an insurance broker's work is very hands-on. We have literally day-to-day, week-to-week conversations with many of our customers. And so when you literally take us out of being a team sport and put us into being more of an individual sport that's got to try to use technology to stay connected to team. Because if you remember back when the initial orders came down in March, we were shut down. We couldn't get together in person. You know, we had to be at home. And to try and do the work that an insurance broker does, which is so much team, so much collaboration, so much work together to think about a client's risk and how we're going to help improve it or transfer it. And that's code for working with insurance companies. That's incredibly difficult to do when you're not together. You know, when you're not belly button to belly button and sitting in a conference room and a whiteboard and grinding over stuff for periods of time and on end. And so we experienced a lot of emotions. There was some fear we had to overcome. There was an enormous amount of uncertainty. Some of that uncertainty is still there. At the same time, because we had recently throughout our offices done quite a bit of either moving or remodeling or upgrading of equipment, you know, thankfully, we were enormously prepared for a work from home environment because of some of the technology investments we had made in our business, equipping every M3er with complete flexibility and mobility of workstation due to laptop stuff before COVID. That ended up being enormously fortuitous for us. I wish we could say it was management genius, but it wasn't. And so the impact on our business, we sincerely are humbled by the loyalty of our customers. We've had terrific customer retention through all of this COVID pandemic. And a lot of that I put on relationships that we have established, as well as the hard work of our team and the people at our clients to want to hang in there with us. And then at the same time, something that is probably more of a future indicator for M3, a leading indicator, our new clients and the number of new clients we've been able to win, that is down significantly versus a normal year. And primarily it's because even though most of our customers are essential businesses, they're focused on a lot of their essential operations and their people. And if you think about somebody who might be a prospective customer of ours, we've had to be enormously respectful of the fact that they've got other things potentially to tend to than considering a broker switch to M3. So our new client count is down substantially.
Yep. And as a leader, how's it been for you to remain positive during this? What kind of messages are you sending to the team? And I know a number of your guys over at M3, and I know how face-to-face and involved that they are. What's it been like for them?
You know, I think it's been hard for me and many of our externally facing team, especially. If you have any level of extroversion in general, the COVID pandemic has been tough, and it's been really tough on me personally. That said, something that, you know, if I even think about how Hector responded to some of your question, we as leaders are often fed by the performance of our teams and how they live out our culture. And to watch M3ers rise to this situation, not run from what the pandemic gave them, but run toward it so that they can be the very best that they can for themselves, their families, their teams, their clients, their industry. It's inspiring. And so as hard as it is, because, you know, striking the balance of saying, listen, you are in charge. That's what we've given the message to our M3ers. You're in charge of your health and your comfort and where and how you work. Because, you know, our offices have actually been open as an essential business since June. And knowing that we've got to continue to work on building and growing our business by taking incredible care of our customers, and often at times without it still being a team sport, the longer that's worn on, Richie, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, man, that's been tough. It's been tough on me. It's been tough on my colleagues, and we've had to rally, and grind, to keep each other, you know, positive so that we can keep moving forward.
Richie, if I may, I just want to give a shout out to Vic for the incredible leadership you provide at M3 as a board member there. But just the enthusiasm and the excitement from your team is great. And you guys are doing a great job. I'm humbled and honored to be a part of your team on the board.
Well, thanks for saying that, Hector. And I'll tell you what, Richie, man, when you got Hector in the boardroom with you, You better bring your A game, man. Otherwise,
yeah, I can imagine that guy's been in the boxing ring. He's turning budgets around.
Did you hear that intro? I mean, he's a world champ. He's 300 million. This, you know, fix that budget deficit. Servant leadership. He writes a book. Hey, Vic, good job. Hey, you've had a couple positions. Nice work. I mean, so. I love to surround myself with people like Hector who have just achieved so much because it gives them amazing perspective that in times like this, like during the COVID, it's truly an honor to be able to lean on people like Hector on our board to help steer the ship that is M3.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I agree with what you were saying about extroversion. We actually, yesterday, we gave a podcasting workshop to a company in person for like the first time since February. And I think there were six people there and they were wearing masks. And I was excited. It was nice to like
bro hugging somewhere. It out.
Yeah. I don't know about the bro hugs, but I put on pants and a sport coat. It was first time in a while. And it felt good. Anyway. You mentioned culture, Hector. You complimented Vic on the good job he does over at M3. Vic, why don't you describe the culture of M3 and what you make sure that you do from the top to really set the tone? And then Hector, I kind of want to ask you the same question regarding what you do at LSS.
Yeah, so as you would imagine, in my role, I do get asked this question from people that are considering joining our team to prospective customers and current customers or industry. I've got five areas that I think describe the culture. One, I think we're generous. I think we're generous with our time and with our money and with everything that we are for all the stakeholders that care about M3. Number two, I think we're smart and I think we appreciate smarts. We try to hire great people. We value smarts and creativity and we try to lift it up and make sure it gets to the marketplace. The third thing is we are connected. And a little of this we've already covered. We appreciate team. We appreciate doing it together. Great meeting I was on before this and an African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's so, I think, summarizes how we try to go and be connected. The fourth thing is M3 is competitive. We're internally competitive. We're externally competitive. And we don't think that's a bad thing because we want to be a part of winning the right way and the honorable way and show what that looks like. And then the fifth thing is that describes our cultures. I do believe we're a do the right thing culture. And in times like this, we work really hard to try to put people first. When we do all of those things as a culture, we then get to grow and change and get better. And then most recently, as an example, and something I'm working on with our board is, you know, how do we become more inclusive? How do we become more diverse? How do we become more equitable? How do we become a part of that conversation in our offices and in our communities? But we think that starts with being generous, being smart, being connected, being competitive, and doing the right thing.
Mm. Absolutely. Hector, let's go over to you at LSS. How would you describe that culture and what do you do from the top to set the tone? And you guys are all managing so many people too. It's not like, you know, your startups or anything. You have hundreds of employees that you need to set the tone to. And I can't imagine that's easy.
Yeah, we try to lead with a servant-led heart. And like Vic mentioned, we try to put our people first. And let me give you an example that when I came into the organization, I understood some of the challenges that we were facing. But instead of coming in with my direction, my vision and my strategy and telling individuals to execute upon that, I asked five questions. I said, what are the biggest challenges the organization is facing? Why are we facing those challenges? What are some of our biggest opportunities for growth? What do we need to do to leverage those opportunities? And if you were me, what would you focus your attention on? It is the answers and insights to those questions from the 800 staff as well as our boards that led to the transformation that has positioned our organization for success. So it came from the staff, has really led.
Weird how they always know. Hey, Hector.
What's that?
Weird how they always know.
They know. That's exactly right. So we really try to put our staff first, and we also lead with our values in mind. So I would say that that's one of our values is co-creation, where we're co-creating our vision, co-creating our strategy and our direction as an organization. That's one of our values. Another one is compassion. Compassion exudes from the hearts of our staff for each other, for the organization, as well as for the people we serve. The other one is courage, where we got to do the right thing and do the right thing again for the whole, for our staff, for the people we serve, and the long-term viability of the organization. And the last value is change. We need to make sure that we are constantly changing and innovating to make sure our models are what they need to be to serve our clients. And again, to ensure the long-term viability of this organization. So it's a wonderful organization where it's co-led with all the staff, and we really care for each other. And because of that, I think that's why we've been very successful.
Yeah. And, you know, both you brought up being compassionate, being generous. Empathy is a word that's talked about a lot from leadership and from culture, especially these days. And Hector, when I think of a former world champion boxer, empathetic is not the word that comes to mind. It comes to mind that, you know, you want to rip someone's head off and take someone down. Hector, I'm curious on your story. Did you have to develop that trait, or were you kind of one of those unicorn boxers who could rip someone's head off in the ring and then also be very empathetic?
Well, boxing it's a dangerous sport. So you know you're going into the ring to hurt that person, to knock that person out before you get hurt or knocked out. But after the fight, you know, there's great sportsmanship. You can hug the individual and even be friends afterwards. But there's nothing friendly, you know, going into that ring and in preparation for that fight. But you can pivot. And I always was able to pivot after the fights. You know, there are some fighters that can't pivot. They'll stay angry and they'll stay mean. But for the most part, boxers, there's this huge amount of respect for the individual because we're trying to kill each other in there. But then afterwards, we could put our guards down and hug each other and know that we gave it our best.
Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and thanks again for tuning into this episode of the Go-Getters Podcast with Mike Vickerson from M3 and Hector Colon from LSS. If you like what you're hearing and you want more COVID business resources, make sure to head to m3ins.com. They've put together a really good portal. You can access it right off their homepage. It's open to the public. It features tips on management, tips on communication and engagement, tips on rebuilding and reimagining culture, how to keep your employees safe and feeling good about coming to work, and giving them tips on productivity to work remotely. A lot of resources that they put together on here. So just head over to m3ins.com. That's m3ins.com. If you're liking what you're hearing today, there's a lot more on there to help you make the most of what is going on right now and hopefully thrive during this environment. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's get back to the show. Vic, what about you? This is the first time I've met you, but I know some people on your team who are very, very competitive, and that doesn't always go with being, you know, empathetic and generous as well. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, for us at least, we are definitely an outlet for people who want to be competitive, but it will come in a certain way or a certain direction, or it's going to have to get played out in a certain way. Because you've heard me reference this already during our time together, but we are such a team sport. We end up talking internally a lot about something that I don't think we talk about enough in this country, and that is how codependent we really are on each other. And when you participate in any kind of a team, regardless of its size, two or three people, 30 people, 300 people, 800 people, when you get a chance to experience true codependency that is trusting and has shared values, and where you know you can count on people, It definitely takes some of the cutthroat out of the worst construction of competitiveness. And I think it adds and puts the best construction on being competitive and competing. We've benefited greatly from that. It doesn't mean that out of 300 people, kind of like what Hector was saying, there are times, you know, we got to come up next to somebody on our team and say, hey, buddy, let's slow our roll now. Let's calm her down. But that's also what teammates do for each other. That's a part of the locker room. And if in any business, in any team, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you can be a part of a successful, win the right way, put people first type of locker room, and you can be a part of all of those kind of natural level setting behaviors where the team regulates the team. You know, you don't need a coach, you don't need a boss, you don't need a manager to break up the fights or to make the peace or to find a way forward. Those are the best of the best of the best. And I'm really humbled by the fact that at M3, I think that is absolutely the norm. It's not 100% of the time, but I do believe it is the norm at our company. And I bet if I hung out at Hector's place and got under the hood, it'd be very similar over there too.
Absolutely. Right. I want to shift over to productivity. This work from home has been very different. Have you guys seen productivity rise, fall, stay the same? And what are some of the things you've done to make sure your staff has stayed productive?
Yeah, I'll go first. The answer to that from an M3 perspective is yes and no. Yes, we have seen productivity rise when people have to accomplish more individually related tasks and work on behalf of their team and the customer. I mean, when you think about it, we've got people that literally are spending a half an hour to an hour and a half a day less in the car, just primarily getting to and from work. And when they get to deploy that time on behalf of the more individually related tasks, for sure, we've seen an uptick in productivity. Where we have it, and where, you know, we even have struggled to this day that we have to work through and communicate, is when you've got team-based collaborative type of work, when two or three or four or five people are working on a risk management plan for a client or a renewal for a client or work that's going into negotiation or spreadsheeting future costs, that's not going great when you've got four people that are all remote and they got to schedule a Zoom to try to get on the same page. And so in those type of collaborative-based efforts, we aren't as productive. And then the last one is, when you think about knowledge sharing and knowledge transfer for onboarding new M3ers, there's no way I could ever answer that question. Sure, we're just as productive. In fact, we're having to take some extraordinary efforts to over-communicate with those team members to encourage them to hang in there, that this is not how it's going to be, because it's not been awesome for anybody in business, let alone at M3, you know, that has joined a company within the last 9 to 12 months, and they were hoping that first year was going to be a lot of onboarding and learning and knowledge sharing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hector, let's go over to you.
Yeah, so for us, productivity has never been better. So I'm 3 years into the role, a little over 3 years. My second year, we started a productivity initiative. It wasn't something that the organization was measuring in the past, but we were about 55% productive based on our initial look at the data, where the industry average for us was around 73 to 75%. And so with this, so we were making significant strides with productivity. But this really just accelerated those efforts, where we went forward with the initial furloughs, but then brought individuals back so that we can meet our industry targets better. And so we're doing really good there. But you know, we're really trying to make sure that people have the supports they need to be successful, and that requires a lot. First, It requires individuals to speak with their families, right? Our lives have been disrupted in major ways, our schedules. And so it requires family support. It requires their co-worker support and the leader support to make sure that our staff have the tools, the resources, everything they need to be productive in their own homes. And it requires, you know, just friends to support them through all this. So there's a lots of supports that are needed and that we're mindful of and that we have conversations on to ensure everybody is successful. But for us, you know, productivity has never been better.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys, do you have a specific piece of advice for anyone in a management position on managing others and also a specific piece of advice on people for managing themselves during this environment?
Yeah, I could maybe start off there. You want me to, Vic? You know, I think that it's really hard times. And so I think that, you know, individuals that pray and meditate, you know, I would encourage them to continue to do that. That's something I do on a regular basis, a prayer, meditation. It really helps me through these challenging times. Mindfulness activities, just to kind of be by yourself and kind of listen, because there's lots of challenges that we have, not only the pandemic, but the civil unrest, the political polarization, the disruption of our lives. There's a lot going on right now. So I encourage my leaders, my staff, to make sure that they care for themselves and take some time for themselves. And I know it's hard because there's lots of things we need to accomplish, but it's so important to have some time for yourself and take a mind, body, spirit approach. All of those are necessary, in my opinion, in order to achieve full wellness.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I used to be, I used to think all that meditation, mindfulness, breathwork stuff was kind of weird. And then I ended up having a bad panic attack on an airplane about two and a half, three years ago. And it led to all these anxiety issues I'd never had before and had to kind of go in and out of therapy and forced me to have to, you know, do meditation and breath work. And I will say it does make a big difference, even if it's only 10 minutes a day doing that or doing it a couple times a day. So yeah, if you have not tried that, no matter kind of what you're doing, and I know obviously states of anxiety and stress are at all-time highs right now, I would definitely check that out. Vic, let's go over to you.
Yeah, so Hector kind of stole a little bit what I wanted to talk about, so I won't repeat it. But the importance of taking care of yourself and managing what's happening to your calendar is a big deal, because what we've all learned in Zoom land is that we can become Zoom bees without having that drive time I referred to in a previous answer. The next thing you know, you could spend 6, 7, 8, 9 hours in front of your screen. And there's nothing about that that's healthy. I think the other piece practically, and again, you ask a couple of CEOs about advice, we're happy to give it. but if I were talking to anybody who leads people, in your leadership of other people, two things. One, actually heard this earlier today during our icebreaker event for the Madison Chamber. Dr. Richie Davis, who leads world-renowned leader in mindfulness out of UW-Madison, and former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy did a co-presentation today. And one of them said this about people, and I wrote it down. Every human being has three needs at a real basic sense. They need to be seen for who they are. They need to know that they matter and that everyone wants to be loved. And so when you think about those three things in your leadership of people, how can you see people for who they are? How can you help people know that they matter? How can you show the kind of professional love that we all want from the places that we work? And if that type of thing gets prioritized over, hey, Richie, I'm looking at this this report, and hey, you got a couple things here you didn't check the box on. We're going to review your processes. I mean, come on. What are we focused on really right now? And so if we prioritize people over those kind of processes in our leadership, I think we get a chance to win. I also think you had asked, what have you learned in this about those folks? And then I'll kick it back to you if you want, Hector. I've learned that not only did I thought we were trustworthy and we trusted people, but in some ways we trust our team even more now. Because when you think about how work has been and is getting done these last 6 months, in some ways we don't have a choice. But in other ways, we've gotten a chance to experience in real ways how trustworthy our teams are. And that when we give them responsibility and things to manage and own, they absolutely can rise to that. And so that's been fun to experience, at least here at M3.
Yeah, and I think for us, you know, we have shown that we love each other by putting each other's interests first. You know, we have lots of robust conversations and asking our staff how they're doing, and I think as a result of that, we have built trust. The communication has been much more frequent because we wanted to make sure that people felt safe. And some of our people are in residential facilities, so we are on top of the CDC guidelines and making sure that we will provide the most accurate, up to date information. And you know, in some cases, we fielded lots of questions. And in some cases, we didn't know how to answer. So we didn't make something up or try to answer if we didn't have the accurate information. We would say, look, we don't know just yet, but once we do, we'll give you that information. And that built a huge amount of trust. People really respected when we felt we had all the information to answer the question. And so they really respected that. So I'd say, you know, just the frequent communication, this feeling, this sense of, we are one LSS, not a program, not a region, but really working together has been something that has really amplified through this process.
Yeah. I love what you guys have had to say on leadership and culture. I'm guessing a big role of the company's success is hiring the right people from the get-go and making sure that you have a good staff on the team, because some people there are a lot more difficult to lead and plug into your culture. So I would love to ask both of you guys, what do you look for when you hire someone? What boxes do they need to check? What are you most concerned with?
Vic, you want me to go? I'll start. So, you know, one thing that I think is important in a team is diversity of perspective, of approaches. So I don't know if you know what a DISC profile is, but there's a deep dominant, the influence. And if you look at our team, we're a perfect circle, which is great because you need the influencers. You need the, you know, the people that are out there and want to accomplish the goals and do it fast. And you need the conscientious and you need the individuals that have the heart. And so we're a perfect circle. So I think that's... I think that adds a lot of good diversity to the team. Also, for our team, they're humble servant leaders with huge compassion, deeply engrossed into the mission. So they have to be really passionate about the work and have to be a strong team. So working with one another, you know, I believe that similar to Vic, you know, we have to, you know, share our thoughts in our opinions, and even disagree with one another. And through that disagreement, we can create something that is extraordinary. So again, I'm the CEO. If I come in with an idea, a vision, a thought, some people will disagree with me. And usually after those disagreements, it has evolved into something awesome. So I think teamwork and those other things I mentioned are the pillars that have been successful for me in my career and what has been successful for LSS.
Yeah, I would encourage any hiring managers, any companies, whether no matter what size you are, to put everyone through a DISC profile test before you hire people. I started working with a business coach probably 3 years ago or so, and she did the disc profile for like all seven of the people on our team at the time. And I'm a very high eye, kind of off the charts, which eyes have some very good qualities. They also tend to be pretty disorganized and not detail oriented. And she was going down the list, and coincidentally, everyone else was pretty much fell into that eye bucket because I just hired people I wanted to get a drink with, and we had no structure or processes at our company. So yes, having
eyes
a very balanced disc.
Yeah,
it was a good time in certain areas, brought a lot of stress in others, but I would encourage people to have a very sound disc profile team. So that is good advice. Vic, we'll move over to you. What do you look for when you're bringing people onto the M3 team?
Sure. The short answer is fit, F-I-T. And then underneath that would probably be a couple of bullet points. We work with our hiring managers and our different teams to develop different culture index. That's the instrument we use to try to understand people's wiring. Once they're on our team, then within those teams, we do those disc type of work. I think the other piece during our interview process, and it's robust, it ain't easy to get hired at M3. And we've gotten a lot of feedback about, hey, Vic, can you speed that thing up, man? This thing's taking too long. But you know, we're really careful. And probably the area that we're the most careful in this fit is, Lynn Cioni wrote a book called Five Dysfunctions of a Team. His follow-up to that book was The Ideal Team Player. And because, again, we work so much in team, connectedness is one of our really key areas that we have to value. He writes a book about the ideal team player, and it so fits our industry. Three characteristics: humble, hungry, smart.
Love it.
Humble enough to understand as good as you are and as much success as you've either had or will have, check it. Because we need each other. Hungry, you got to be willing to work and you got to put the work in, and no one's going to do it for you. And then I think smart, and all these are related to relationships as well, by the way, smart, understanding what team you're on and what role you play and how you can lift other people up. But being humble, hungry, and smart with your relationships as a team player, we just try to get at that in our interview process to see, in addition to the CI, are you going to be a good fit? Because if so, we think you're going to line up with our values really well.
Love it. Love what you guys had to say. And speaking of hiring, it's, you know, some people are out of work. It's not the easiest market for graduating college students. Do you have any advice for people looking for jobs to stand out and get attention and get hired on, whether it's, you know, to M3, LSS, or just organizations in general?
Yeah, so I think people that are in roles at businesses today who are responsible for building their team, building their pipeline so they can build their team when it maybe is a more COVID appropriate time, because some businesses like us have continued to hire. Other businesses, for all the right reasons, may have to slow down for a bit and then maybe in the next 3 to 6 months pick it up. If I were somebody coming out of school, I would treat finding my job like it's my job. I would think really hard about my social presence, my LinkedIn profiling, and how I'm prospectively reaching out to the businesses that I want to get looks from, with maybe even some creative homework where they've done some research on their own and they're including their observations about the industry that they want to get hired into and the company within that industry and what they've already learned by being able to spend some time doing that homework. I think it'll help them stand out so that if a company they want to go work for isn't hiring right away, they can be top of mind when they kind of come out of the COVID, if you will, out of the pandemic and are hiring again.
Richie, could you ask the question again? Because it blanked out a little bit. I'd hear the full question.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question was, we just talked about what you guys look for when you're hiring people onto your team. I was wondering if you have any advice for people looking for jobs now, whether they're out of work because of COVID or they're just, you know, out of college and it's not the easiest job market at this point in time.
Yeah, I really like what Vic said earlier about hungry, humble, and smart. So it's good to be really hungry and ambitious and show your value proposition, whether it be through volunteer activities or whatever job that you have, show that ambition, but then be humble about it. Realize that, you know, you can't do anything by yourself. You need others that will help you be successful. So I think that's very important. Smart. And this is about the emotional intelligence smart, where you develop better awareness, where you know how to self-regulate. And it's really that emotionally intelligent smart that's going to make you a great team player. So I would encourage them to think about those three things that Vic talked about in order to advance in life and in their careers.
Great. And I want to end on this. You guys have both had amazing careers to this point. What are you most proud of individually?
I'm really proud of how much bigger and better and badder, in a good sense, my company has become. And I don't think it's because of me. And so when I joined the company back in 1992, we were one office. We weren't the biggest insurance firm in Madison. We had 30 or so people, and we were a classic small enterprising business trying to make its way and pursue its dreams. And I happened to be in some really fun places, right place, right time. So I got opportunity at leadership, when I did, and sometimes it was at a young age. And in my younger days, I would work really hard personally because I had thoughts that I could really move the needle. And in some ways, when we were much smaller, some of that may have been true. But what I am so incredibly proud of is, and genuinely humbled by, is what an awesome ass-kicking team I get to work with every single day, in a good way, like a bunch of ballers. And because of that, and seeing how much gets done and in such good ways, and none of it is connected to me. In all sincerity, for me to be a part of that, I honestly feel like, wow, what a pleasure it is to be able to serve the organization as the CEO. Because I didn't start this company. I just have the privilege to have some leadership roles here for a spell. And then someday, he gone. Vic, see you later. And I'll be forgotten very quickly because life marches on. But that's probably what I'm most proud of. Everything that M3 is and stands for, and how much of it is just, it's an us thing and a we thing. It ain't a me thing.
I would say I'm most proud of all the people that have helped me in my life to get where I'm at, starting with my mother. Very humble beginnings, seventh grade education. When my father left when I was 12 years old, she worked two and three jobs to support the family. We were poor and we were bringing in the homeless and serving others in the community. So I saw what a true humble servant leader is through the example my mother gave me. Then I think about my boxing coach who spent his nights with me, his weekends with me, took me into his house when I was 16 years old and where I lived with him, where he loved me, he fed me, and made sure that I am the champion that I am today. And then I think about my family and my wife, of all the support and sacrifice they have made for me. And I'm so appreciative of how we are doing as a family. My kids are doing really well. Love my wife very much. And lastly, just my team at LSS. They are absolutely amazing to go through the major transformation that we have gone through over my first 3 years here. And then when this pandemic hits, and not only are we going to meet, but exceed our budget, this organization has not seen the type of gain we are going to achieve in this organization in over the last 15 years. So I'm very humbled and honored by all of those individuals that I can call my friends and family.
Great. Hector, Vic, thanks so much for coming on. It was great spending time with you guys this afternoon.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Yep. Richie, again, thanks for being on. Hector, thanks for everything that you do, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Just a reminder, this podcast is brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our friends over at On Milwaukee. If you got something out of this episode, and I don't know how you didn't, a lot of great takeaways, please share it with someone who would benefit and make sure you write a review and subscribe if you have not already. And also a reminder to head to m3ins.com. There's plenty of resources to help you thrive in the work environment during COVID. And thanks again for tuning in.